the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Damian, happy Earth Day. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. Yes, it's Monday and a new week ahead of us. It's going to be a great one, to say the least. You had a good weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend. Got outside and just enjoyed the weather.
Yeah, it was great. That's good. Well, we did too. We got outside and did a little yard work. Got to spend time with the family. My son had a birthday. So happy birthday, Dom. Hopefully you have a great week to go along with yesterday's changing of age. I won't say his age, but he's not that old, but he's not that young. So we'll keep it at that. We will pray, though, to start our show off in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God, you bestowed the crown of martyrdom on Saint Adalbert. I don't know if I said that right, but Adalbert is the way it looks. Your bishop, who was animated by zeal for souls, by his intercession, grant that pastors may not be without their flock's obedience, nor flocks without their pastor's care. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer kind of goes along with today's gospel.
Oh, wonderful. We will learn more later on during our gospel and our saint of the day during today's show. But at 10 after, we have some events in our listening area. We will give you details about. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Mark Brumley joins us. He's the president of Ignatius Press. And today we are going to be diving into a new book called God is Ever New, Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom. Looking forward to that conversation with Mark. In 35 minutes, we're going to kind of change it up a little bit, Damian. We're going to be talking about the 12 keys to using the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So I know we have so many listeners and viewers who are wearing their brown scapular right now, but maybe there are some people who don't know about the brown scapular or know of it, but we'll be talking about some different things on it and explaining its use. So we're going to be diving into that topic today. Looking forward to that. And 48 minutes, Deacon Richard Eason joins us. He's a deacon in the Archdiocese of New Orleans at Good Shepherd Parish. Today he's going to be talking about his book called Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. There are so many books coming out of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. This is just one of three authors out of the Archdiocese this week that we'll be talking to. Many of you guys will know these people, and later on this week we'll give you details as we progress on throughout the days. Looking forward to today's show, but Damian, as always, looking forward to your weather report. What do you
have
for us?
Well, we have sunny skies, not only today, but throughout the entire week. It's going to be a beauty. Today's high is going to be 75, still a little chilly, but overall, not bad. The low tonight is going to be 46. It will warm up each day as the week goes on by a couple of degrees. What do I mean by that? Well, tomorrow the high is going to be 81. And sunny skies, temperatures, as I said, will increase as the days go on. By the end of the week, we'll be close to 89 degrees. Right now, though, temperatures in and around the area. New Orleans reporting 56 degrees. Elsewhere in Covington, it's 49. In Gulfport, 51. In Homme-Thibodeau, 55. And in Baton Rouge, it's a chilly 50 degrees. There are your temps. That's your forecast. Coming up next, your gospel, reflection, events, and a whole lot more. It's Monday, and we're just getting started on Wake Up.
Music. A good Monday morning to you on this fourth Monday of Easter. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel comes to us from John chapter 10.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly."
We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
God said to the prophet Ezekiel, "I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep are scattered about, so I will seek out my sheep." Today's parable was primarily directed at the Pharisees, whose pride made them spiritually blind. They carry a heavy burden because of those they lead to destruction, who Jesus depicts as helpless sheep. Because their minds and hearts were closed, the Pharisees were incapable of understanding the spiritual message of Jesus' words. This was astounding in lieu of the frequent Old Testament passages that condemned the false shepherds of Israel, like the verse cited above from Ezekiel. Thieves and robbers are the terms Jesus used to refer to the false shepherds of his day that ravished Israel spiritually. In the Old Testament, the prophets Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah condemn similar false shepherds. Now Jesus rebukes them. Jesus' censure is also applicable to those false Catholic teachers in our day who use their knowledge of religion and their positions on theological faculties to undermine the faith of unsuspecting Catholics, especially the young. Jesus' reprimand is also a wake-up call to parents who neglect the spiritual formation of their children. Whenever anyone in a leadership position fails to care for God's sheep and leads them astray from God, they come under God's judgment. Jesus is the faithful shepherd. Those who follow his voice will be saved. He assumed human nature in order to ensure that those who follow him will have life and have it more abundantly. Each person is given the choice of which shepherd to follow, Jesus or the thieves and robbers. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and let's hope we follow our Savior. And thank you, Father Chris, for the gospel. And here are some events you guys may want to partake in. Archbishop Amon is agreed he's going to go ahead and proceed with the 2029 Diaconate Formation Group meetings. The following evenings are set aside for what is called Come and See Information Nights for men entertaining the diaconate program. It's just a discernment process. It's a chance for you to ask questions, get answers, and try to determine if God is calling you to become a deacon. The following sessions will be held at the Archdiocese of New Orleans Administration Office Lunchroom, okay? But it won't be at lunch. It'll be at 6:30 in the evening. And next meeting is tomorrow, April 23rd. You have to RSVP in order to attend. And if you need more details, you can go to ccmedia.live and get all the information.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Damian. Well, Pregnancy Services, a program of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, is asking for your help. They are in desperate need of diapers and wipes for new and expectant mothers. With more than 12,000 diapers distributed monthly, they are struggling to keep up with demand. Every donation makes a world of a difference for these families. You can go to ccano.org or ccmedia.live to find out more information. Damian, my mom and I were actually talking about this yesterday. They also had the same thing going on in their parish, just a bucket for diapers and wipes for families who really need them. Uh-huh. And it is always, always used, and they are always in need for more. So this is a demand. So please help these families in need.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, crawfish, I know crawfish season is upon us, but apparently they're becoming a little more plentiful because at Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, they are going to have their crawfish cook-off and parish picnic this Saturday from 3 to 7. It's the battle for the paddle. That's right. You can get out there and join in the fun, and it's going to be a great time. As I said, 3 to 7 at Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. Great church parish, and I know the crawfish are going to be tasty and plentiful.
That sounds like a fun event. Definitely take a look at that and go to ccmedia.live for more information. Well, the Magnificat Ministry Prayer Breakfast is coming up on April 27th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Oak Lodge Reception Center in Baton Rouge with speaker Sandy France. She will talk about her journey throughout the Catholic faith and moments in her life where it was strengthened. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information and to register.
Alrighty, and tonight's the night for Marriage as a Sacramental. That is taking place at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. The event is at 6:30, and it will be held in the St. George Chapel. There will be light refreshments and also limited babysitting available. It should be a good evening. The speakers are Terry and Leslie Ellis, and they're there to share their story. If you want more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
This event that's coming up over at St. Angela Merici Church in Baton Rouge is very important. It's called People Are Not For Sale. It's about human trafficking. Yes, it exists, and it exists in our own backyard. Well, you can go in here. Actually, one of my favorite people in the entire world, Yvette Fushi, talk about this. It's happening on Thursday, April 25th at 7 p.m. in St. Angela Merici's Jim over on Melody Drive in Metairie. She is very knowledgeable and has worked with human trafficking survivors in the New Orleans area. So go and take a look and listen to Yvette speak on this powerful, powerful, and yet real thing happening in our own backyard. ccmedia.live is where you can go and find out more information.
Yeah, that is going to be a good event. Last but not least, There's a garage sale taking place this Friday from 7 to 3 at St. Isidore Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. It's sponsored by the Knights of Columbus Council and the Ladies Auxiliary. All right, folks, 15 minutes after the hour, it's Monday. Let's put it in gear and move forward here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 22nd. Today we celebrate St. Adalbert of Prague. Opposition to the good news of Jesus did not discourage Adalbert of Prague, who is remembered with great honor in the Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary, and Germany. Born to a noble family in Bohemia in the 10th century, he received part of his education and his confirmation name from Adalbert of Magdeburg, now also a canonized saint. Young Adalbert became the Bishop of Prague before the age of 30 and was welcomed by the people with enthusiasm. He quickly turned his attention to the need for reform among the clergy, but opponents of reform forced him into exile. After studying and becoming a monk in Rome, Adalbert was recalled to Bohemia. Within a short time, however, he was exiled again, this time after excommunicating those who violated the rite of sanctuary by dragging a woman accused of adultery from a church and murdering her. After a brief ministry in Hungary, Adalbert preached the good news to people living near the Baltic Sea. He and two companions were martyred by pagan priests of that region in the year 997. Originally buried in Poland, Adalbert's body was moved to Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral in the 11th century. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Clotto. Wow. What a story from Saint of the Day on Saint Adalbert of Prague. I had no idea. I didn't know much about this saint, but very powerful. He he's a good one to research up on and pray to as well. Mark Brumley joins us. He's our first guest today and president of Ignatius Press. We talk about so many books throughout the year published by Ignatius Press. They do such a great job with giving us wonderful resources on our faith and diving deeper into so many things that make up our faith tradition. And one of them is the book, God is Ever New, Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, it's so great to have you and to talk about this wonderful book that focuses on Pope Benedict XVI. Tell us a little bit about what we can find and learn a little bit more about this wonderful man.
Well, lots of meditations from various talks and interviews and things that Pope Benedict gave over the years. There's a foreword by Pope Francis, and he talks about how his predecessor, it's kind of a weird situation, was still weird, even though Pope Benedict has passed along, but his predecessor, and how in this book he really has a lot of really powerful images and little messages, little meditations on various themes. You mentioned some of them, life, love, and freedom, but just an array of things, you know, our relationship with God and how to pray and how to grow in holiness and trust in God and things of that sort. So it's a wonderful little collection.
Well, and I know so many theologians love diving deeper into Pope Benedict's homilies, speeches, lectures, documents. Why is that so intriguing to so many people still yet today, even though he's not Pope?
He's not, Pope, he's not with us anymore. But I think the answer to that is that he writes at such a variety of depths. So, you know, writes or speaks at a level where they're, you know, the average person can glean much from him. But then if you want to go deeper and deeper, there's a deeper and deeper there to go. So I think that's what it is.
One of the things that I have found is a lot of people are having a really hard time kind of understanding trying to understand his writings, because a lot of it is theologically driven. But how can we kind of break those barriers and really connect with Pope Benedict?
Well, a lot of it has to do with what you're reading. So if you pick up a book like Introduction to Christianity, that's a pretty substantial theological work. If you pick up something like this book, you know, which is God is Ever New, it's you know, excerpts, it's distilled stuff that's meditative and very, you know, written more for the ordinary person. So the first rule of thumb is make sure you're picking up the thing that's suited best to you, which is not to say that we should never challenge ourselves with, you know, more difficult material, but if you want to get started, it's good to start, you know, at the basic level.
Most definitely. I'm going to kind of switch gears here, Mark, because I want to take advantage of the fact that you are with us today and you are the president of Ignatius Press. I mean, I would say at least once a week I'm getting an email from you guys on a book that's released, and it is such great titles. How do you go about picking the right books to go in and publish? And you're helping bring people to the faith, essentially.
Well, we're trying. I mean, we have a team of people, our acquisitions team, and these are people young and old that have had a lot of experience and are very prayerful about what we publish. We try to publish things, as we say, from the heart of the church that represents helping people come closer to God, can understand God's their lives in relation to God and God's purposes. We reflect a kind of a communio approach, which is the Latin word from which we get the word communion, which means communion with God and communion with one another in the church, that reflects the variety of vocations. You know, obviously their vocation to clerical living, vocation to religious life, vocation to lay living, and so on. And we're very much influenced by the writings of Joseph Ratzinger and Henri de Lubac and Hans-Urs von Balthasar and Louis Bouilhet, these really seminal figures in 20th century and early 21st century Catholic theology. Were founded by Father Joseph Fessio, who was a student of Ratzinger's and so on. So a lot of what we do is influenced by that. But we also do a lot of things in spirituality and scripture. So really kind of the renewal of Catholic life and faith that the Second Vatican Council sought.
I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, but we have a lot of new Catholics who entered into the faith not too long ago. Are there any books that you can think of at the top of your head on that you would recommend to them to really dive deeper into our faith this year?
You know, I would recommend a book. First of all, this book, God Is Ever New, is a good starting point because it's so meditative. You know, you can take it and pray with it. You can take it to adoration, things of that sort. So God Is Ever New by Benedict XVI. But I also recommend Peter Kreeft, K-R-E-E-F-T. Especially if you want to kind of get an overview of the faith, I would recommend his book, Catholic Christianity, which really just kind of goes to the catechism, but explains it in really accessible ways to people. So Peter Kreeft's Catholic Christianity would be a recommendation. I also recommend anything having to do with the Bible. So I highly recommend people getting a copy of our study Bible. We have the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, New Testament. Start there. If the whole New Testament is a bit of a challenge, you can always start with, say, the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Matthew or Mark, something like that.
Mark, this is Damian. Good morning to you, brother.
You as well.
God Is Ever New. Let me ask you, because this seems to be a different side of Pope Benedict in regards to, as you said, it's not as academic as it's more personal, and it's tied to a lot of his, I guess, personal prayers and eulogies that he may have made, not eulogies, but sermons. How does that transpire in regards to the book? And secondly, do you see almost the human side of him, because he was the right hand man of Pope John Paul II for the longest time? Do you see more of the human side of him come out? Not that he's not human, but you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, I think what this book does is it. Again, it's aimed at sort of the average person, not necessarily the high-end theologian. I mean, obviously, high-end theologians need to pray, and they need to reflect, and they need to think about their lives and all of that, too, so don't want to make it sound like they're somehow above all of that. But this is more like for the ordinary Christian. What does it mean to suffer? How do we pray? You know, what should we think about when we pray? We talk about faith. What does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to trust in God? Yeah, so I think those aspects that are fundamental come through. I think sometimes people misrecollect Benedict because they think of him through his writings,
right.
Some of his more theological writings, but his very first encyclical was called God Is Love, you know, so it was on God's love for us. Mm-hmm. So, and that kind of spirit is reflected throughout this book.
I love that. Thank you so much, Mark Brumley, president of Ignatius Press. We're discussing the book, God Is Ever New, Meditations on Life, Love, and Freedom, as we just dive into our Catholic faith with former Pope Benedict XVI. His writings are still so relevant and so popular, so definitely take a look at this book. Mark, where can our listeners and viewers pick up their own copy?
Well, they can go to their local Catholic bookstore and get it there. If you don't have a local Catholic bookstore, you can always go online to Ignatius.com. That's Ignatius.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I did link it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, so you can go and check out this book and so many others that Mark recommended as well. Thank you so much, Mark, for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Very cool. Okay, yeah. There's so many books that Mark recommended that I highly agree with him. Peter Kreeft is another one that he said was a really good author to kind of dive into. He's been with us on Wake Up. One of the things I love is kind of decorating my home and making it feel like, you know, a home. And there are books that tell you how to do that or show you how to, you know, add sacred art to the home or add a rosary, where you can put things that when someone walks into your house, say, okay, they're Catholic. It's very evident that they are Catholic, and I love that. So definitely take a look, and so many others where you can just dive deeper into your faith and practice that on a daily basis. So
yeah.
Ignatius.com is where you can go and do that.
Somebody just sent me an information that I, since it's involving the Saints, okay, and we are a Catholic radio station, I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints. So they're having their Hall of Fame golf tournament. One of them is going to be held Monday, May 20th. It's the 31st annual Saints Hall of Fame Celebrity Golf Classic, and it's going to be at the Chateau Golf and Country Club in Kenner. And anyone could participate, but you got to sign up early, which is why someone sent this to me, because it's going to fill up quick. There are going to be teams of five, and one of the players on your team will be a former Saints player or a current Saints player. And so that's kind of cool, too. You get a shirt, a Saints shirt, a cap, and there'll be a lot of other goodies out there. For more information, we're going to put this on our website so you can get all the details. If that's okay with Gab.
That's fine with me. Just send it to me, and it will be on our website today.
You got it.
Stay with us. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
And welcome back to Wake Up. Happy Monday, everyone. 52 degrees outside, and it's 35 after the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. And we're going to chat now, Gabby and I, and give you some info about the scapular. A lot of people are wondering, how did it even come into existence, and where did it come from? Where did it go? Do you know how to do the cotton eye, Joe? But Our Lady of Mount Carmel is really where the scapular came from. You know me, I got to throw in a joke here and there. But the interesting thing is the fact that the scapular was actually given to St. Simon Stock in July of 1251. And it was a tradition that, it, even though it's now known, she gave it to him basically to as a sign and a privilege for you to, and for all the Carmelites. Whoever dies wearing the scapular will not suffer eternal fire, so she says. So that's why the tradition started and how it came about. But there's a lot of other things that you may be interested in learning about the scapular.
Yeah. Most definitely. I think the key thing to also keep in mind is that it's not an amulet, right? So I remember as a kid, I would hear, you know, if you wear your scapular, then you won't have a, like, you know, as a kid, in a kid's term, a painful death, you'll get to heaven. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's the lucky charm. Well, as you get older, it's not an amulet, right? It's not a lucky charm. It's not an automatic guarantee into salvation. And you have a quote here, Damien, from St. Claude de la Colombière, who says, "You ask what if I would want to die with my sins? I answer you, then you will die in sin, but you will not die with your scapular, nor is it a dispensation from living the demands of the Christian life." So in terms, you can wear your scapular all you want, but if you're not living the Christian life or living the life God is calling you to live, then you know what I mean? It's kind of like a, you can't just do whatever you want and say, I'm good, you know?
Yeah. I agree, and that's what we're sharing with everyone out there. It's not an automatic protection shield to where you're not going to go to hell. You know, you've got to live a good life to in order to wear it as well. It's interesting though. The word scapular comes from the Latin scapulae, which means shoulders, and was originally an overlapping article of clothing worn over the shoulders by monks while they worked. And the Carmelites adopted it as a sign of a special dedication to Our Lady, seeking to imitate her dedication to Christ and neighbor. So originally, a garment that was worn by the monks. And in fact, some monks still wear somewhat of a garment that looks like a scapular.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up because I actually don't know what that looks like. I know that that is still a thing, but I need to go and actually visually look at it just to kind of see. I'm curious to know how it looks like on the Carmelites as well. What's interesting, though, it is a gift from Our Lady. According to tradition, the scapular, as it is known, was given by the Virgin Mary herself to St. Simon Stock, like Damien said, on July 16th, 1251. Mary told St. Simon Stock, quote, "It must be a sign and a privilege for you and for all the Carmelites. Whoever dies wearing the scapular will not suffer eternal fire. Later, the church extended the use of the scapular to the laity. So very cool. You can go and actually get one at your local Catholic bookstore right now. Take it to your priest and have it blessed and wear it. Uh-huh. Wear it all day.
And you only need to have the scapula blessed once. Once you have a scapula and it's blessed, if it breaks or it wears out, the next one you get doesn't necessarily have to be blessed. But hey, doesn't hurt to have it blessed again. Mm. And I always get mine blessed again. The scapular stands for the material love and protection of Mary. It's got three meanings, Gabby. The maternal love of protection of Mary, the belonging to Mary, and for the gentle yoke of Christ that she helps us to bear. So that's interesting to, you know, the fact that we ask for her protection when we wear it, and we say that we belong to Mary. We're also a child of God, and to help ask Christ to help us bear the yoke that we have to bear, or the cross, so to speak.
I think this is cool. So it can be given to non-Catholics as well. Mm-hmm. You never know who's kind of searching for that meaning in life, looking for that peace, looking for that love, looking for their purpose in life. Well, we all know as Catholics, you know, God is love, and God is a reason why we are put on this earth every day. So maybe gifting a blessed brown scapular to a non-Catholic will get them curious about our faith and moved to learn a little bit more about this beautiful tradition. So like I said, get to your local Catholic bookstore and pick one up as well and take a look, and maybe give them a little information, you know, card or anything to go along with it that kind of dives deeper into the meaning of the brown scapular as well. So I like that you can gift it to a non-Catholic and get them a little curious about what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's, in a way, if you think about it, it's sort of like a holy medal too. You know, yeah. There are a lot of non-Catholics who wear holy medals, and certain ones have certain meanings. It is a sacramental, though, the scapular is. The brown scapular is recognized by the church as a sacramental. It's a sign that helps us to live a holy life and to increase our devotion. It does not impart grace as the sacraments do, though, but it disposes the person wearing it to the love of the Lord and to repentance if it is received with devotion. So, again, a reminder, sort of like a daily reminder, you know, when you're thinking about maybe sinning, and all of a sudden you feel that scapula on your chest, you go,
think
twice.
And you're thinking about sinning. Sometimes many of us do not think before we sin.
I think you should always think before you sin, at least. Even if you're going to sin, think about it first.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And maybe you can tell yourself not to, you know?
Good point.
Ask for God's
graces.
Hey, I
didn't know this. I didn't know. That's so true, Damien. I also didn't know this fun fact about the brown scapular. So it was seen in one of the Fatima apparitions. Mm-hmm. Lucia, one of the visionaries of Our Lady of Fatima, reported in her last apparition on October of 1917, Mary appeared with the Carmelite habit and the scapular was in her hand, and said that her true children wear it with reverence. Mary also asked that those who consecrate themselves to her wear it as a sign of that consecration. That is so cool. I was not aware of that. So another fun fact, how it ties into Our Lady as well.
And here's evidence that it could be a sacramental, or is a sacramental. Blessed Pope Gregory X was buried with his scapular, and 600 years later, when his tomb was opened, the object was intact. Something similar happened to St. Alfonso Liguori. St. John Bosco and St. John Paul II also wore their scapulars, and St. Peter Claver vested the scapular with those he converted. So it's got a lot of meaning behind it. So it's not just something us Catholics wear just because it's a good luck charm, as Gabby said.
Well, and one of the questions I just got a text from is, what images are on the brown scapular? What image is? Well, the inscription translates from French as, "Remember us, your children. Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary, protect us." The image shows Mary, Mother of Jesus, and the Blessed Virgin of Mount Carmel. Like Damien said, it's been a Catholic tradition since 1251 It always blows my mind, Damian, when we still hang on to traditions that are centuries old. It's still so relevant. I wonder if Simon Stock would even think, oh my gosh, yes, in 2024, you guys are still talking about it. You know, it's just so cool. So well, and a fun fact
there,
as well.
There is the image of St. Simon Stock receiving the scapular from Mary on the brown scapular as well. So
very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
You know there's a preferred way to receive it? Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well,
no, I didn't.
The imposition of the scapular should be preferably be done in community, which I did not know, and is the ceremony, the spiritual meaning, and the commitment to the Blessed Virgin Mary should be clearly expressed, and you receive this. So the fact that you do it in community and not just one-on-one, I'm not sure that takes place too much anymore because I've never seen it done. Have you?
I have not seen that done. Every time I've received a brown scapular has been from either my religion teacher or a family member. So that's interesting to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully you learned a little something in this little tidbit of information for you for the brown scapular. Go out and get one today if you don't have one. In the meantime, Deacon...
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado, as we continue on, or we're taking it over to the beautiful Napoleon, Napoleon Avenue, almost a Napoleon Street, over in Uptown New Orleans, over at St. Stephen's Basilica with Deacon Richard Eason. He's a deacon in the Archdiocese of New Orleans Good Shepherd Parish, and he also wrote a book called Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. Good morning, Deacon Richard. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Good morning, Damian. Thanks for this opportunity to spend some time with you today.
Good morning.
We're so glad to have you with us. Well, you are one of a few authors in the Archdiocese of New Orleans who will be joining us this week. Something is just sparking brilliance in the Archdiocese of New Orleans to write really, really good books that we will talk about, and yours is one of them. Spiritual Lightning, kind of take us through it.
Sure. It's all inspired by the Holy Spirit, these books, for all of us who have been fortunate to do this, but... As to spiritual lightning, it all originates from the book of Acts, chapter 9, when we learn about Saul, who was a Roman leader and who was persecuting, prosecuting, and killing Christians. He's on the road to Damascus to continue in that effort when he gets struck by the divine grace of spiritual lightning, knocking him to the ground and blinding him for 3 days. And during that time, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to change his life, to promote the values of Jesus. And Saul later became the great apostle Paul, who wrote the majority books in the New Testament. And over time, I used to go to, and I still do go to Mass at St. Patrick's on Camp Street with Father Garrett O'Brien there. You'll know you're all familiar with him. And I sit in the back at noon Mass next to the stained glass window of this very same image of Jesus pointing his finger at Saul, blinding him and saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And over time, over 4 years sitting next to that window at noon Mass from time to time during the year, it became upon me that spiritual lightning had touched my soul and changed my life as well. And over time, began praying about that, and I realized and learned from the Holy Spirit that the grace of spiritual lightning touches all of us during our life. It can be something dramatically as a healthcare issue, the loss of a loved one, a job change, or something circumstantially or even indirectly or subtly. You might have a conversation with a friend, go on a retreat, hear a good homily, do some spiritual reading. And what do you do with that grace of spiritual lightning, Gabby? Do you act on it and learn the values of Jesus? Or we just kind of makes you feel good for a day or so and you kind of ignore it and you go back to your old ways and bounced around like a ping pong ball between joy and happiness and discontent, right?
Yeah, well, I think a little of both, right? We're human, so I think the humanness kind of is like, man, this is such a great feeling. And then once it kind of disappears, we have to realize that what it actually was and how we can continue to keep that flame alive within our heart and soul. And I think that's where your book comes in. And one of the things that I found so intriguing that can help so many people, Deacon Richard, there's so much anxiety and fear in this world. I feel like it's just so much more rampant. I think a lot of it it has to do with social media, especially with the pandemic and the uncertainty. I don't know. It's just what I've been seeing on social media these days. But you have a four-step process to attain divine peace in the face of fear, stress, anxiety, and worry. Can you kind of take us through that?
Sure. That's one of the values that there's 15 values in the book that you learn to master from this book and answering the call of spiritual lightning that touches your soul, as you mentioned, Gabby. And the four-step process is to identify the issue that's challenging you, and that's pretty obvious for most of us. Then put together 100% faith in Jesus. Have courage in a challenging time like our Lord did when he faced challenges in his life. And then submit the issues to our Lord in prayer and maintain that posture, and that'll get you through the process of whatever challenge you may have, fear, stress, worry, dealing with your life, and that divine peace will take over your soul, and you resolve the issue.
I think many of us either are going through a spiritual lightning, have gone through maybe multiple spiritual lightnings, or haven't experienced it at all. Deacon Richard, for those who have just entered into the church and are like, spiritual lightning, what's that? You know, or maybe they've experienced it when they were receiving all of the sacraments. Maybe they experienced it whenever they were in formation or RCIA. Talk about how we can achieve that for those who have no idea how that feels and they're searching for that.
Sure. Well, if you take a look at your life and spend a little time examining where you are in life, you realize that our Lord has been touching you somewhere along the way. And it may be in one of these ways we were describing earlier. It may be something where you lose a family member or a friend, or you have a crisis, or one of your friends is experiencing some challenges, or you have some people who speak to you about maybe changing your life in some way. And if you reflect on your life some, you realize that our Lord has been tugging on your shoulder a little bit, trying to get you to learn to master his values. And in the values that we talk about in this book are things of learning to love God without limits, eliminating temptation and sin in your life, and as you mentioned, Gabby, overcoming fear, stress, and worry. And there's a couple of other really good ones in here, replacing spiritual mediocrity with spiritual maturity. Some of us are struggling with our health or psychological issues. We have a chapter on putting the divine physician, Jesus, work in your soul to help you resolve those issues as well. So these kinds of values are covered in here that will help anybody understand what the grace of spiritual lightning is all about.
What was your inspiration behind writing something like this? Did you go through a spiritual lightning that was kind of an aha moment?
It was, and also being a lawyer for 40 years and a deacon for nearly 12, I've had hundreds of conversations with people along the way, from teenagers to people in their 90s working at the OS&MN, working at St. Jude Nursing Home in the city and the Laurel Assisted Living Center and other places, around going to hospitals and visiting with people. Everyone is touched by spiritual lightning. And as you said, Gabby, what do you do with that? I mean, do you take it on and realize I've got to change my life and start learning the values of Jesus and living them? And or do I just go on and continue to get bounced around? And one of the good things about this book is we give 8 examples of people's lives who've experienced spiritual lightning. We have the lives of 4 saints, like St. Vincent de Paul and St. Ignatius Loyola, but we have the lives of 4 individuals, ordinary people like all of us, who have been touched by the grace of spiritual lightning and how it affected them, how they changed their lives and answered that call to master these values.
It's so good to read those stories. They can be quite inspiring and inspirational to us all. You can go and pick up Deacon Richard Eason's book over at your local Catholic bookstore or head over to sophiainstitute.com. It's called Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. Thank you so much, Deacon Richard, for being with us today.
Gabby, thank you for the time. It's been a great joy to be with you.
It's so wonderful to have you with us. And say hello to Monsignor Nolte, by the way. We're big fans, and he loves us, and we love him, and we love everyone over at St. Stephen's Basilica, such a beautiful part of the Archdiocese.
Okay. Thank you very much for this opportunity today.
Wonderful. Wow.
All right.
Well, great. Kind of a theme here.
Fast hour, to say the least. Mm-hmm. We're glad everyone joined us. Y'all have a great day. We're going to wrap up with a prayer to St. Dalibert. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Adalbert, Through your intercession, may we obtain the necessary grace to lead faithful lives. May we always be guided by love and the sense of justice, and may we always remain confident in God's goodness and His love. Lead those who have gone astray back to the church. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Deacon Steve Greco talks about a brand new movie called Jesus Thirst, The Miracle of the Eucharist. Dr. George Saramuga joins us to talk about his Lead with Love daily devotions. And Jason Craig is taking us down to the basics with his new book, The Liturgy of the Land, Cultivating a Catholic Homestead. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and our stand-in video technical director, David Dawson. Great job. Thanks, David and Jeff. So grateful for you both. Thank you so much, Damien. It was such a fun show with you, and we'll catch you back here tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.